Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. The Reverend Dr. Stephen Okana is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The reading appointed for today is recorded in Galatians, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. For those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. O Lord, have mercy on us. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Galatians 5, 24. So we have a clear and concise dividing line in this chapter of Galatians. Walk by the Spirit or gratify the desires of the flesh. The two are always in conflict with each other, incompatible for the child of God in Christ. There are two lists. The first is called acts of the flesh, and the second, fruits of the Spirit. Acts of the flesh has 15 markers, and I just read those. And Paul knows our sinful nature well, for he throws in the phrase at the end of those 15 markers, and the like, as if he were to forget anything in his list. The second list, fruit of the Spirit, has 9 identified characteristics, and I will list those. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's a lot more going on here than you might think initially. Identity. Who are you? This seems to be a question of the time in which we live. It is a query about one's identity. Who are you? And this is serious business. And it shouldn't be relegated to philosophers of long dead ages past or those who dwell in ivory towers. And it's more important than what I would call the metaphysics of identity. The topic of identity is now desperate. Who are you? It's come to this. If you don't answer correctly, or if it's not carefully answered, it can take a person, someone, groups of individuals, or a nation into a dark place. It could even plunge the world into a dark abyss of chaos, anarchy, and dystopia. Death on a scale we would find unfathomable. The simple question of identity: who are you? Mary Eberstadt, in her books, makes the claim that the loss of identity leads many to join dangerous political and social movements, terrorist organizations. It has brought up about the questioning of sexuality, identity of a man or a woman. The issue of identity has challenged the basic understanding of God in Genesis, making both male and female. The loss of identity for many is a cause of suicide. As one's identity is lost, so is the loss of belonging, the loss of purpose, ending in death. Who are you? In Galatians 5, Paul the Apostle is not just laying out a list of do's and don'ts. The Apostle is not driving us to a form of stoicism, a horrible piety based on our activity, striving for perfection without Christ. Paul provides an answer to a fundamental question: who am I? Under the cross of Christ, the answer brings about contentment and peace, hope in navigating through a fallen world. Identity is tied to belonging. Even the secular world knows this. Values are an integral part of thinking and doing. The United States military is an interesting place to explore identity, the characteristics, behaviors, and benchmarks. Army, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, and Air Force. If I had 5 seconds to describe all of them to you, the entire military, in its totality, I would call the armed forces of the United States a values-based culture intended to protect and defend the United States of America. Many might not know this, but here are the various values. In the Air Force, they have 3 values: integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all we do. The United States Navy has 3 core values: honor, courage, commitment. The United States Marine Corps has the same as the Navy, again, honor, courage, and commitment. The United States Coast Guard has 3 values: honor, respect, and devotion to duty. The United States Army has 7 values: loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. This is how you are considered in the Army to be a good soldier and a good leader. You wear this around your neck. These are your My ID tags. And one of them is not actually my ID tag, but it is my values. You wear these around your neck your entire military career, and mine was 31 years. So, if you want to know what kind of person you are, you look at your values, and there they are. And in the same way, we who walk in the Spirit, we live in a contrast. It is slightly different. We have what's called a sinner-saint dichotomy. We're children of a fallen humanity. A sinner, exclusively the characteristics, behaviors, and benchmarks of one. A sinner is not what you do, it's not about activity, but who you are. Children of a fallen humanity. Ugly in the sight of God. Flawed. In need of help and not knowing which direction to turn, destined to death and hell. A saint. A person is a saint exclusively through the work and activity of Jesus, one who is redeemed, fundamentally changed from ugly to beautiful, from flawed to wonderful, a person who belongs to the Lord Jesus. All of this is given and extended by the Holy Spirit pointing to the Lord Christ. We are people that belong to Christ Jesus through the waters of holy baptism. So, no matter who you think you are, your identity is firmly fixed on the cross of Christ, and questions of being and belonging are answered in the water of holy baptism. If you take a quick check of your identity apart from Christ, your identity is nothing more than shifting sand and unstable at best. In like manner, Paul wants us to see and live a life of redemption and forgiveness. We read in Romans 12, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." As we walk in the Spirit, we stride away from the acts of the flesh. We move away from these horrible, destructive characteristics, behaviors, and benchmarks. Jerome once said, "The vices of Galatians 5 come to nothing and perish in themselves." Instead, we are changed. Our characteristics, behaviors, and benchmarks become love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In this way, our identity is changed because we are changed. But there's more here than a change of behavior. It is now a fundamental shift in identity. Now, I don't intend to become overly esoteric or pedantic on the subject of identity. So let's get real. A pastor, a deaconess, a teacher, a mother, a father, a grandparent, a son, or a daughter. Found in each one is characteristics and behaviors and benchmarks you have in your mind as to what a perfect one is. Now, my wife, Mary, when Mary and I became grandparents, a new identity, a new and wonderful smell wafted out of the kitchen. Actually, it was an aroma familiar to my mother and Mary's mom. Honey, what are you making? Grandma cookies. Can I have a couple with my coffee? No, they're for the grandkids. Characteristics, behaviors, and benchmarks. Mary making cookies like the other omas of the past, and me trying to abscond a couple like other opas of prior generations. Both lists are given to us to teach us. They're catechetical. Acts of the flesh are recorded in the catechism to point out the devastation of original sin. This is found in the purpose of the law section. The fruits of the Spirit answers the question under the third article, which reads, besides faith, what else does the Holy Spirit create in you by the gospel? Now, this is all useful. It's given to us as a treasure. To some, they are a litmus, a measurement, an assessment. But again, there's much more going on than this. The list of the acts of the flesh have to do with activities and attitudes totally apart from God and His will. This is not theological rocket science. All 15 lead to a disruption of relationship with those that we love. They also lead to physical pain, suicide, murder, anguish, and a miserable death. But worse yet, separation from God. And we know this. This is not new to us. Talking about these acts of the flesh is uncomfortable. We've seen the devastating results in our lives. So who are you? What is your identity? We are, as Paul describes himself in Galatians 2. For through the law, I died to the law that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You are a person who is both sinner and saint at the same time, a child redeemed and loved by the Lord Jesus. You are so precious that God created you knowing you are special. Your life has meaning and direction. You belong to a mighty, unstoppable force locked arm in arm with tens of thousands of millions of saints and angels, with Christ beside you, Christ in front, and Christ having your back. You belong. We don't find our identity in sin. Our identity is being a saint, forgiven, and one who is now in Christ. Our identity is placed in struggles daily and decidedly against the best Satan throws at you. This is accomplished through the Holy Spirit, their paraclete who always directs us back to the cross and back to your baptism. We are a people who live in hope of a promise already fulfilled. As we take one step after the other by the Holy Spirit to the great and glorious day where we meet Jesus face to face in the resurrection to eternal life. And we ask this in his holy and precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Aaron Bell, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.